This is the Telstra AFL Trade Radio Podcast. Subscribe now on iTunes.
Patrick Dangerfield's his name. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Cornsy. Thanks, player.
Tim Kelly is no longer a Geelong player and a teammate of yours. Must be disappointing, but player and I have spoken at length about how well he's handled himself. Can you give us your emotions as you say goodbye to a very, very good player?
Yeah, it's a tough one because I've been in that situation of wanting to start a family. Tim's is different because he's already had a family and moved them across the continent to play footy. So I have nothing but admiration for the way that he's handled himself, particularly after asking for a trade last year and it not going through. Mm. And I suppose, you know, the conversation that you have within your own head, all right, I'm going to ask for one. What if it doesn't happen? And then, you know, how do I return and then go about getting back into the groove of things? And credit to Tim, the way that he turned up ready to play again at the end of this season was incredible, a testament to his professionalism. And then for him to play the way that he has, like, I haven't seen a player start at AFL level, even though he's a little bit older, and look so at home, play so well in the big moments, and deliver so consistently. So
I've been in it for 40 years and still haven't. It's like, crazy.
It blows your mind. Like, how can no one pick him earlier than this? So certainly disappointment because we won't have him running around. And, you know, he won games off his own boot for us this year that we wouldn't have won, you know, had he not been in our side.
So when you follow the talent coming through close to the most current AFL players, when did you know he was special? Like, what was there a training session? Was there a moment where you thought this guy's going to come and fit straight in?
Yeah, basically straight away because he came into full training. And normally the way that we progress our younger players and our trades is a gradual build over a few months prior to Christmas. Tim was able to come in and get straight into it. And having played with Andrew McLeod, the way that he moved across the ground, just how clean he was below his knees, it just reminded me so much of Bungie. So you knew straight away this guy's going to be special. And then I think it was Tim's first NAB Cup game or JLT game. I don't think he had a possession or he had a couple of touches. He had a shocker and you just knew how dirty he was. But, you know, it's just adjusting to the level. And then from the second game onwards, he just tore it apart.
Well, yeah, he's been totally amazing. I heard Cookie speak this morning about how much this year the club has tried to organise and help and try to do things to clearly keep him around. Did you have the sense throughout the year? I mean, footy's footy, but yeah, you still speak privately and that sort of thing. Did you have the sense throughout the year that it was always still heading that direction?
Yeah, I think so. I think especially given the reasons, like I think, you know, if it's different circumstances, you can try and talk players around it. I remember having that conversation with, you know, Kurt Tibbett, I think in 2010, 2011, which is ironic because I left a few years later, but you want to keep your talent around. But Tim's circumstances are just far different than so many players. So yeah, I understood the circumstances and wish him nothing.
The club, it's quite remarkable, really. I mean, Wellesley's brilliant at what he does. I spoke yesterday and sort of said, he's actually turned, you know, a semi-speculative, you know, pick in the 20s into two first round picks and a second round and some in the sake of 2 years. Plus you've had the player for that 2 year period. It's amazing how valuable he's become so quickly.
Yeah, it is. And as you said, it's a credit to Stephen and the whole list management team, Simon Lloyd. And, it's a tough one always to balance up though, because you're taking a known product.
Correct.
You know, the outcome's on and you've got to, you know, a baseline of form versus picks that you hope are going to be good. And I know Kane loves Colin Coward and he's got a philosophy around the player that gets the star wins because they've got the star. Yep. Now, we hope and we back in our recruitment to pick some great players out of
that. Hello, Tom Lynch and the Richmond Football Club.
Yeah, they're hard to find, but certainly having, you know, picks in that upper echelon of the draft are really important for us, especially considering over the last few years that we had traded players, we had traded top-end draft picks out in order to bring some players in. So from that respect, I think it's a good outcome.
Clearly, you didn't want to be in the position of losing Tim Kelly, but all I'm sort of saying is it started as a 22 years ago and it ends up as a couple of first-round draft picks.
And even with last year's scenario compared to this year again, you know, I think it's a win-win for both clubs, which I think has been a bit of a common theme, as much as we would love to have kept him.
Yep. Bit of a stalemate on Jack Stephen from the Saints. Look, I think he makes you better, provided he's in the shape off the field and on the field, of course, which we respect. Do you think he makes you better?
I think he does if he plays and plays to the level that we've seen him play previously. Once again, there's still a lot of, you know, ifs and buts with that. Having played with Jack as a junior and knowing him and the family well, I'd love to play with him. But he's a contracted St Kilda player, and I dare say, without any knowledge of what's happening internally, there's a bit to play out there.
You're an elite midfielder. Did you get frustrated with the ruck situation this year, and do you need some more support in that area?
No, I don't think we do. I think our rucks have copped a fair bit of flack. I think, you know, certainly a fair amount of the criticism at times can be laid on us as midfielders being able to service and adjust better than what we have done. Mm. You know, we cop criticism for that first final around selection of our rucks. It was funny though, because our centre bounce differential was the second best we had for the season. Around the ground, we weren't quite as good, but CB is one of the most important areas of the game. We were really quite good, so we can adjust better, I think, with how we adjust to our rucks if they're in form and good touch, or if they're, you know, playing below their best, which we all do at different stages.
Bit of a twofold question. Do you take anything out of the fact that you're 20 points in front of the Premiers that won it easy in the end at half time in that game, and you have no Duncan and no Hawkins playing for you on that particular day, plus we're pleased to see that Harry and Gaz decided to go around again?
It's a tough one. I mean, you do take something out of it because, as you said, we had a few players missing. That being said, so did Richmond. Alex Rance, who's, you know, one of the greatest defenders we've seen, so he's pretty handy. The challenge is you take something from it, but you've got to work another whole season to put yourself in a position to be good enough to qualify to then get to a prelim. So you do, but that confidence can only take you so far. You've got to get back to work and put yourself in a position to play again. So it's a bitter pill to swallow when you're in a position to win.
Yeah.
In terms of Gaz and Harry, it's great to see them go around again. Gaz's season for someone playing in year 18 was quite extraordinary, and Harry is still taking the majority of the time the best key forward the opposition has had, which has freed up Blitzarves. It's freed up Stewart to play that intercept marking role. So both really important players for our team, and you know, we think we can squeeze a bit more out of them just yet.
With all due respect to Joel Selwood, because I think he's the best captain that I've seen in my era player. I think the Wayne Carey before that, and then Joel Selwood, Luke Hodge in the conversation as well. So park that, goes without saying. Do you harbour any ambitions to captain the Cats?
No, not at my age, Kane, to be honest. You know, I'm 30 next year, and like you said, with the leadership that Joel has exemplified for such a long period of time, I couldn't see a scenario while he's at the football club that anyone else could captain the club.
So he's just that good?
He's just that good.
He might end up like Michael Tuck. There was a group of people parked behind Michael Tuck for about 15 years waiting for him.
He's just that good.
Yeah.
Like I can't even sort of articulate just how impressive he is.
Mm. How long will he play for? How long do you expect Joel will still go around for? I mean, I know it's a hard question.
I think he can play to sort of mid-30s, 34, 35. I'm expecting him to do that. I want to squeeze a bit more out of him just yet. I think at times we sort of played him in that wing role, which didn't exactly suit him, but he was playing a role for the team that he's happy to do. And then, you know, as soon as the finals came around, we put him inside.
Combative again, yeah.
Just totally controlled the game, you know, kept us alive against West Coast.
Has he got coach – sorry to cut you off. Has he got coach written all over him after footy or not?
I think so, yeah.
He looks like he does.
Yeah, he as a leader, like, and as a player, wanting to be successful – that's what you want young players coming into the side, being captained by a person like that. And then, you know, form is one thing, and the way that he plays, like, that ticks itself off. But how he conducts himself, he's incredible. So
you're saying that if he did play until he was, say, let's say 34, just for the sake of the argument, you think he'll be captain until he's 34?
Yeah, well, whoever was, I would struggle to look at him in any other light than Joel's the, you know, he's just that person.
Yep.
He's just that. You know, he has, you know, that incredible, amazing ability to bring people together. It's a privilege to play under him, and we'll have a wonderful captain, whoever it is next, because they'll have been in the system under Joel and learnt from his leadership. And I think any successful organisation, you need those key pillars, your coach, your CEO, head of footy, and your captain. And, you know, that's why I think we're in a really strong position, in the position we're in, because we tick those roles off really well.
We'll move on from the Cats. We'll get to the AFL Players Association and AFLW issue shortly. Just want to ask you about Josh Jenkins, because you've got a close relationship with Josh. How do you read his situation at Adelaide, where he's contracted, clearly not wanted there, and perhaps not a lot of love coming from the other clubs? You got a thought on it?
Yeah, it's a bit bemusing for mine, to be honest. And I'm a little bit biased because...
I must say I'm the same, but...
I'm good mates with him, but I try and remove that hat. I just look at his form when he has played. I think he has a lot to offer AFL level. He's a goal kicker. At the end of the day... and I'm a bit biased, came with the way that I play. Still got to kick a winning score to win games.
Yeah.
You've never seen a team, you know, win a game without scoring more than the opposition. And he hits the scoreboard. He's a good contested mark. And he's a really intelligent player. I think quite often, you know, we look at players for what they can't do rather than what they can do. So I'd hope that, you know, he'll find somewhere to play, because I think a team would really benefit from him.
Right, you're the president of the AFL Players Association. Currently, we've been reading about a dispute between the AFLW, or a section of, and the AFL Players Association as you negotiate the new CBA for the coming years. Can you give us a read on it? Because you've been dragged into this, the AFL Players Association have been dragged into it, and to a lesser extent, the competition as a whole. Where's it at?
It's been pretty tough to sit by and watch, I suppose. And it's been a bit disappointing from my perspective, knowing the people that work at the AFLPA and knowing from them for a long time just how much work that they put into representing, you know, the wants and the needs of the players. So I've got no issue with our players, you know, trying to get as much as they possibly can, as long as it's fair and equitable and the whole competition can be sustainable.
Mm.
I suppose where my question... and where I've felt a little bit disappointed, it's been tough to sort of watch, is just having the integrity questioned of the PA. These are people that work for all our players. You know, they turn up every day trying to find better ways for work conditions for our male players, and the same for our female players. So that part's been tough. Now, I understand we're in a building phase of the AFLW, and I certainly don't begrudge, you know, that's the 30% of players that are looking for the best possible deal. But I think just the way that we go about it, we're just going to make sure that if we are looking for an outcome, the best possible way to do this as a playing group and as a PA is to do it together. I've never seen a playing group get a result by being divided.
Mm.
So we need to stick together. We need to make sure the open lines of communication between the PA and the players are there, because that's the only way that we're going to move forward and we're going to get something that everyone's really happy with.
Are you disappointed it's been played out in public?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, that's definitely a disappointment of mine. I think, you know, we'd rather, you know, the confidential information that we send out to players remain confidential, because that's, you know, that helps us negotiate as best an outcome for our players as possible. So, you know, where possible, we want to keep that in-house. But I understand, you know, the girls are trying to get the best possible result, and that's fair. But we've also got to understand that we want this competition to be sustainable, not only for the next, you know, 3 years of this CBA, but the next 10 years, the next 15 years, that young girls playing AFL or netball or, you know, rugby, whatever it might be, that the number one sport that they're choosing is the AFL, because we've got great pathways, they're well remunerated, and the conditions for work are the best in the country.
Mm. Last one on it from me. I read a report that some sections are disappointed with your leadership and also Daisy Pierce's leadership. Are you aware of that, and has anyone expressed that to you?
I'm aware of it because I read it. They haven't expressed it to me, and I'll make it really clear that I'm available to speak to any AFLW player or any group of players as my role as president. And we all are as board members and as delegates. So those open lines of communication, they're there. So, you know, we've got to make sure that if the quickest way to short circuit this is to get in and open the dialogue and maintain maintain the channels of communication, because we're not going to get through it unless we unite.
Mm. Mate, thanks so much for giving up your holidays and joining us for half an hour of your time. Good luck with everything moving forward in your season next year.
Thanks, Gonzi. Thanks, player.
He's a Brownlow medalist. He's the reigning best and fairest. He's done it all. Patrick Dangerfield, star of the Geelong Football Club and president of the AFL Players Association.